Blog Talk Radio.
I will take you from among the nations, gather you out of all countries, and bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Then you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your father. You shall be my people, and I will be your God.
A new heart you've given unto me. A new spirit you put within me.
Everyone to grab your notepads, your books,
Bibles, all these study guides, and take notes throughout the course of the lesson, and see what the Father opened your eyes to them. To what's being said. I'm going to start with a brief prayer. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for allowing us to come together on your Sabbath day to give you honor and give you praise through thy Son, Yahushua. We ask that thee to continue to sustain humanity and utilize your servants throughout the world to bring people to understand who you are through thy Son, Yahushua, giving them the knowledge of your word and your truth for the hope of them to stand before you and give you honor and give you praise. Father, we ask of thee to continue to help those who are in need, both physically, mentally, emotionally. We ask of thee to soften our hearts this evening so that we can receive the wonders of your word. We thank thee, Father, once again, for bringing us to this Sabbath day, this day of rest, to give you honor, to give you praise. We pray in the name of thy Son, Yahushua, Mashiach, Amen. Okay, let me hold on for a minute, man. Hello, fam, do I need to reconnect?
Can it be that it was all so simple then? Or has time rewritten every line? And if we had the chance to do it all again, tell me, would we?
Good evening, fam. Sorry about that. We had a little technical difficulty. Good evening. Once again, welcome to another session of Can It Be That Simple? Let me slow down. Let me I'm your host, Yara Al of Beth Yahweh Congregation. I apologize once again for the technical difficulties. However, we're going to start off again. We're going to start off with a brief prayer. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for allowing us to get through this rocky road of technical difficulties so that we can give you honor and give you praise. In the name of thy Son, Yahushua, we ask of thee to soften our hearts to receive the wonders of your word throughout the course of this Sabbath day. We ask of thee to open our minds, open our ears, and continue to keep our hands on the plow and walking in the ways of righteousness. Continue to keep our eyes focused on thy Son, Yahushua. We thank thee for the kindness that you have shown us throughout the course of this week, the lessons and the blessings. And we thank thee for the health and the strength that you've given us to endure throughout the course of this week to come to this Sabbath rest day. We ask of thee, O Father, to continue to help those who are in need of your assistance, both mentally, spiritually, physically, and emotionally. May they cleave to the wonders of you and have hope in you and thy Son, Yahushua. Once again, I'm going to remind everyone to grab your notepads, your pens, your pencils, your Bibles, your Bible dictionaries, your concordance, and all those things that you use to study with. Jot down the scriptures that are being said to see what the Father revealed to you. Blessed are you, Yahweh, our mighty one, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with his commandments, took pleasure in us, and with love and favor gave us his holy Sabbath as a heritage, a remembrance of creation. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who sanctifies the Sabbath. Once again, hello, family, friends, and all that are listening this evening. When we last left, we were talking about who are you listening to. And one of the last scriptures that was mentioned was by Solomon when he started his Ecclesiastes off with vanity, vanity, all is vanity. And then he ended the book with scripture saying that the conclusion of the matter was to fear Yahweh and keep his commandments, for that is the duty of man. So one of the things that, you know, that prompted this particular lesson was, you know, that was the lesson that I was teaching or talking about after coming out of Sukkos. So one of the things that, you know, if you heard me on Sukkos, because I was out, you know, did a teaching while we was in the Sukkos, or we had a discussion. And one of the things that I got from Sukkos is servitude. Because in our family, my family runs the community kitchen for while we out of Sukkos. And when I was out there, it was just the beauty of being with the Father and, you know, as we say, the wilderness. And to see that beauty. And then at the end of the 7 days of Sukkos, we go into the eighth day. Now, we come to, and my understanding is when we deal with the eighth day points to the millennium. And that's that time when we're going to dwell with the Father. Or we can say paradise. So that's where this lesson is coming from. It's coming from, you know, you going through the wilderness, and then you going to the promised land, or you going to paradise. And you did all the work. You did what was necessary. You showed the Father that you kept your eyes on the lessons that the Son taught us. the example that their son left for us. And the thing what came to my mind was, you know, enjoying the fruits of your labor. And enjoying your fruits of your labor, you begin to appreciate the things that the Father really gives you. And like when I was out of Sucos, I really appreciated the fact that I didn't have to go to work for the man. I really appreciated the fact that I could wake up by the sun rising and wake up by the animals that were out there in the campground where we were at. And then a couple days later, I went to another place. You know, I'm just coming back from that place, and you know, I'm coming back from enjoying the beauty of the Father from another place. I had the opportunity to hang out on the beach for a week or so, and it was wonderful because I was in another area enjoying the beauty of the Father. You know, like people wonder, you know, he's, you know, some things, you know, you have to use your imagination. And while I was, you know, sitting on the beach and enjoying the sunlight and the nice breeze going past, and every, you know, it rained a couple of times. I enjoyed the rain. You know, I was just enjoying those elements that the Father has created for us. And if we take the time to see the beauty in these things that the Father has created for us, then that takes us to another level in appreciating the things that he do for us. And so that's where this lesson comes from. It comes, you know, just a little work. That's the title of Just a Little Work. He asks us just to do a little work. And that little work is to be obedient. And through being obedient, you can reap the beauty of the Father. So we're going to start off in Romans chapter 12. I mean, these scriptures that we're going to go through, you know, you may have heard them before, but this is a different perspective, hopefully, that you can get from it. And it reads, "Therefore I urge you, brothers, by the mercies of Yah, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to Yah, which is your spiritual service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is good, well-pleasing, and perfect will of Yah." See, and in this scripture, it says renewing your mind. Our mind has to be renewed to its original state, its original pure state. And the way that we do that is through that obedience. See, because our mind, or humanity's mind, got fogged up or got tampered with when Adam failed to listen to the Father's voice, failed to obey. So we as humanity have to try to get our, have the Father has put in place a manner in which we can get our minds back to its original state. And it's through the knowledge and understanding of what Yahushua has done for us and laying his life down for us and taking on sin. And when we believe in that and we follow after his example of being obedient to the Father, then we too will take on that spirit, because that's what he said he will do. He will send his spirit back to us and give us understanding of the word of the Most High that has been written down for us. So from here, we're going to go to Genesis chapter 2, verse 3. And it reads, "And Elohim blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because he rested independent from all his work, which he had created in me. So, as you know, when we read this scripture, it's talking about the Father, and he, you know, he created, you know, what he did in the 7 days, and he created all things, and he stopped. He stopped the action of creating. So from here, we're going to go to John chapter 5. Verse 17, and it reads, but if you read a couple scriptures up, it's talking, it's in regards to some things that Yahushua was doing on the Sabbath, and this is a response that he gave to them. But actually, Yahushua, you know, the Pharisees was, you know, accusing him of doing work on the Sabbath because he was healing people. And because Yahushua knew what they were talking about and knew their thoughts, he responded to them like this. He said, it says, but Yeshua answered them, my Father is still working, so I am working too. Letting you know that there is a work that the Father is doing, and what he's doing, he's maintaining humanity. He's maintaining with this realm that humanity is in. So from here, we're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15 and 16. And it reads, for though you have 10,000 tutors in Messiah, yet not many fathers, for in Yahushua I became your father through the good news. I beg you, therefore, be imitators of me. So this is Paul speaking. There's another scripture where Paul talks about how he imitates the Messiah. So what is he doing? He is teaching his people, or the people that, the Gentiles, because as we know, his mission was to go to the Gentiles. So the people that he is talking to, he's bringing them to the knowledge of Yahushua through his example, because the example that he is following is that of Yahushua. So he's telling him the same thing that we just got finished reading in the previous scripture, how Yahushua is working just like his Father is working. And that's another thing that the Pharisees had a problem with, because of Yahushua putting himself on the same line as the Father, or making his, or saying that he was equal with the Father. So from here, we're going to go to Philippians. And this is Paul writing again. Brothers, be imitators together of me, and note those who walk this way, even as you have for an example. Just showing that we as believers, we have to be an example for one another, and doing the right things and following after Yahushua and the things that he has done. Because there is a level of work that we must do. And we have to do that work both physically and spiritually. The spiritual work that we have to do is the work that we do within ourselves, so that we can be a good example for those who see us. So we have to get rid of our isms and our schisms, and we have to work to get rid of that sinful nature that is in us, that disobedient nature, or that dysfunctional nature, or as we say, that disease that dwells within us. And that disease that dwells within us is sin, that sinful nature. Scriptures say it in another way, that carnal nature. So from here, we're going to go to Philippians again, chapter 4, verse 9. And it reads, the things which you learned, received, heard, and saw in me, do these things, and the mighty one of peace will be with you. See, what he's saying is that the things that I'm doing them because I'm an imitator of my teacher. I'm an imitator of that person who is being led and guided by the Spirit of Yahushua. And if you imitate me, then that mighty one is going to be pleased with you and have peace with you also. So from here, we're going to go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 29. And it reads, Elohim said, Behold, I have given you every herb yielding seed, which is on the surface of the earth, and every tree which bears fruit yielding seed. It will be your food. So from here, we're getting ready to get into Adam and the reason why we have to put in this work. So I'm going to, I started off in Genesis 1:29 because understanding the field. Because as we know that the Father put, for Yahweh Elohim, placed man in the garden to dress it, to take care of it. And in the process, he told him what he could do. And the reason, as you know, he put the herbs and the trees that bear fruit, and there for food for him. So we're going to go down to Genesis chapter 3, verse 17. And it reads, To Adam he said, Because you have listened to your wife's voice and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, saying, You should not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake, and toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. So, in this particular scripture, I looked up the word toil, and it's in your Hebrew concordance, it's 6093. And it's sabon. It's a bone. And the definition is pain, toil, sorrow. So what is he saying? In toil, in pain, you will eat all, you know, in pain. Why? Because now you have to work this soil so that it can produce for you. Because you were disobedient. You failed to listen to my voice. Because he told him not to eat of a certain tree, and he ate of it anyway. So as a result of his disobedience, the ground has been cursed. So from here, we're going to go to Genesis chapter 5, verse 29. And this is talking about, and it reads, And he named him Noah, saying, This same will comfort us in our work and in the toil of our hands because of the ground which Yahweh has cursed. So this is the same word, toil. I believe I looked the word toil up. Did I? No, I didn't. But... So from here, we have to understand that because of the Adam's disobedience, now, you know, as we know in the story, he put Adam out of the garden so that, you know, he would not have the opportunity to eat from the tree of life. So he put him out. So from that point on, he had to till the ground, he had to work the ground, and he had to... But, you know, by the sweat of his brow, that's how he ate. Because before, he could just eat. The garden was being sustained by the Father. And the only thing he had to do was eat of it and be obedient. So from here, we're going to go to Leviticus chapter 26, verse 9. And it reads, I will have respect for you and make you fruitful and multiply you, and you will and will establish my covenant with you. And this particular scripture is talking about Israel being in its obedience in regards to the land and how he would make it be fruitful and multiply. So from here, we're going to go to Ezekiel 36, verses 8 to 11. And it reads, "But you mountains of Israel, you shall shoot forth branches and yield your fruit to my people Israel, for they are at hand to come. For behold, I am for you, and I will turn into you, and you shall be tilled and sowed, and I will multiply men on you, all the houses of Israel, even all of it, and the cities shall be inhabited, and the waste place shall be built, and I will multiply on you man and animal, and they shall increase and be fruitful, and I will cause you to be inhabited after your former estate, and will do better to you than at your beginning, and you shall know that I am Yahweh." So, in reading these scriptures right here in regards to what we're talking about, how the land was cursed. So, in this particular scripture, these scriptures that I read, it's alluding to that the land and the people are of one thought. How he's going to allow the men to be on the land, to sow the land and till the land and plant on the land, and then the land is going to produce for the man and animal. So everyone is going to be blessed because of the occupation of man on this land and man doing what he's supposed to do for the land so that the land can produce it for itself. Whereas it's like a win-win situation. And so what comes to my mind is that when we as believers till our minds and break up the ground within ourselves and plant new seed and get rid of the oldness that dwells within us, what we become? We become fruitful. We become a good example. We become an inhabitable for that Holy Spirit. Because as that Holy Spirit fills us, it causes us to be more fruitful. It causes us to speak that word more. It causes us to want to do the will of the Father. Give a resting place for Yahushua. From here, we're going to go to Proverbs chapter 12, verse 11. And it reads, "He who tills his land shall have plenty of bread, but he who chases fantasies is void of understanding." So as we've learned from when Israel was in the wilderness and they received that manna from heaven, that was the bread from heaven. But as once we get into understanding about Yahushua and knowing who Yahushua is, Yahushua said, "I am that true bread from heaven, the bread of life." And then as we keep the feast, when we take the, keep the Passover, what do we do? What has he given us? He said, "Take this bread and eat it, for this is my body." So when we take the bread that Yahushua gives and put it in us and make it a part of us, then that's given us an ability to live, because he said he was the bread of life. He was the life. He is the life. And if we believe that, then what are we going to do? We're going to till the land or till our mind and get rid of it. As we started off, renewing our mind. And the more that we get into the word, the more that we plant the seed of Yahushua within us, the more pleasing we will become to the Father. Because we will be doing the same exact thing that Yahushua did. And that was to please the Father. And as Solomon put it, that is our duty to the Father, is to fear him or reverence him and to keep his commandment. Because what we learn throughout the scriptures is that he say, obey my voice. He wants us to listen to him. From here, we're going to go to Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 10. And it reads, behold, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms to pluck up and to break down and to destroy and to overthrow and to build and to plant. The Father took me to this scripture because in this world system, this is what we will have to do. We're going to have to tear down old things of this world. We're going to break them up. We're going to have to destroy them. We got to show our might. And then what we have to do, we have to build. We have to plant and start anew. And that's what we have to do. We have to do that both physically and we have to do that both spiritually. But we have to do it spiritually first because as the scripture that talks about how if you clean the inside of the cup, the outside of the cup will be clean. So we have to clean up the inside of us first. Pay attention to what we're doing and how we're being one with the Word and how we're being imitators of the Messiah and showing him and showing the fruits. Or his character, because when we read in the scriptures about the fruit of the Spirit, it's a list of things, but all of them are characters that the Messiah demonstrated. And he also talks about, in the scriptures, it talks about putting on that whole armor of God. And these are other characteristics that we must put on to show Yahushua, to be able to defend ourselves against the adversary. Because as we get rid of certain things within ourselves, that doesn't mean that the adversary is not out there trying to get us back. And he's going to utilize anybody or anything. He will even utilize us again if we are not paying attention. I'm going to go to Matthew chapter 13. I'm going to read verses 18 to 23. And this is talking about, it's a parable that Yeshua talked to the people about. And one of the things we have to realize that, when Yeshua was talking to the people during this time, I mean, he spoke to them in a manner in which they could understand because of the nature of the business that they were in. So he spoke to them in their terms. And that's the same thing in this modern day time. We have to be able to be skilled with the word that we can explain things to people and bring people to the truth of Yahushua and the truth of the Word of Yah in terms in which they can understand. So we don't want to seem as though we're talking above them. We want to ultimately bring them up to understand what the scriptures are and what the scriptures are saying so that they too can change their ways and walk one with Yahushua. So we're going to start off in verse 18, and it reads, hear then the parable of the farmer. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away that which has been sown in his heart. And as we, you know, I always reiterate this, when it says heart, it's talking about the mind, your thinking. This is what was sown by the roadside. What was sown on the rocky place, this is he who hears the word and immediately with joy receives it. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. When oppression or persecution arises, because of the word immediately he stumbles. What was sown among the thorns, this is he who hears the word, but the cares of this age and the deceitfulness of riches chokes the word, and he becomes unfruitful. What was sown on good ground, this is he who hears the word and understands it, who most certainly bears fruit and brings forth some 100 times as much, some 60, and some 30. So going to this in regards to understanding, putting in that work to till the soil. And the soil that we're talking about is that mind of ours and putting in that work. See, some of us have that stony mind. You know, we quickly run out there and do it. You know, and that's a good thing that you quickly do it, but you have to understand what you're doing. You know, the Father wants us to understand what we're doing and why we're doing the things that we're doing. You know, he talks about the other soil, the one that's amongst thorns. You know, that's the person that's in the world. And because the world chokes them out, they become unfruitful because they're so caught up into the world. The world is giving them some things that, you know, as one would say, the things of Yah is not working fast enough for them. But then you have, as it says, that good ground that's been tilled and ready to receive the seed, or ready to receive the word. And what happens? He understands it, and he becomes fruitful. Why? Because what is he doing? He's sharing that word with someone else. He's taking the time to build someone else. That's going back to Jeremiah, you know, understanding that he putting in that work to make sure that the seed that is being planted is planted amongst soil that can receive it. Then we're going to go now to John chapter 6, verse 39 and 40. And it reads, "This is the will of my Father who sent me, that of all he has given to me, I should lose nothing, but should rise him up at the last day. This is the will of the one who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." See, the Father has chosen us. We've read scriptures in regards to that also, where, you know, like I think Jeremiah was, you know, he tells him how he chose him in the womb, before he was in the womb. So the Father chooses us. And as we read in the scriptures, it talks about my sheep know my voice. You know, because he is the good shepherd. And the sheep knows his shepherd's voice. So he's not going to lose any. But we have to do our work. We have to do due diligence. Matthew chapter 16, verse 27. And it reads, For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will render to everyone according to his deeds. So that, you know, we have to put in some work. We have to put in work. Have to put in work. Matthew chapter, same chapter, couple verses up. This is Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. And it says, then Yeshua said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his stake and follow me. Now we have to understand that the term stake is, you know, symbol of difficult times, sacrifice. Because if we look at, you know, we pay attention to when Yahushua laid his life down, that he carried his stake and the one that they crucified him on. So that we understand that what we're doing, we're taking on the same burden that Yahushua took on. Why? Because we're trying to imitate him. We're trying to show his good character. We're trying to show his love for the Father. Luke chapter 9, verse 26, and it reads, for whosoever be ashamed of me and of my words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. So, as we travel this thing called life and we stand up and call ourselves believers in Yahushua and believers in the Torah, there's going to come a time when it's going to be challenged. Going to be challenged. And we have to stand firm in Yahushua's word. Stand firm in the Torah. Because we don't want Yahushua to come back and deny us. It's a scripture that says, depart from me, ye doers of iniquity, for I never knew you. Ultimately, what are you not doing? You're not taking on the character of Yahushua. You didn't demonstrate him to men. Just like he demonstrated the Father to men. He declared the Father to men. What we do, we declare. When we declare Yahushua, we're also declaring the Father. From here, we're going to go to Proverbs chapter 20, verse 4. And it reads, the sluggard will not plow by reason of the winter. Therefore, he shall beg in harvest and have nothing. So this is another. This is Solomon talking about giving wisdom about the man who doesn't want to plow by reason of his cold outside. He doesn't want to prepare the ground to receive seed to produce food. So when the harvest time comes in the springtime, he has nothing. So he's begging and hoping that someone gives him something to eat. From here, we're going to go to 2 Thessalonians, chapter 3. And it reads, I apologize for that delay. I apologize once again. We're going to go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 7 through 11. And it reads, For you know how you ought to imitate us. For we did not behave ourselves rebelliously among you. Neither did we eat bread from anyone's hands without paying for it. But in labor and travailed work, night and day, that we may not burden any of you. Not because we did not have the right, but to make ourselves an example to you, that you should imitate us. For even when we were with you, we commanded you this. If anyone will not work, neither let him eat. For we hear of some who walk among you in rebellion, who do not work at all, but are busybody. So, in this particular scripture, I looked up the word busybody, and that is 4020 in your Greek lexicon. And it's peiragazon ahi. Woo! I'm going to tell you the definition of it. It says to waste one's labor about a thing. Overdue. Busybody. Waste my labor. So from here, just reiterating, this is, one of Paul's writings again. And it's just talking about the Thessalonians and how, when they were being taught, when the apostles was teaching them, how they was imitating, they wanted the people to imitate them. They had the right to tell them different things, but they worked for everything that they wanted or that they needed because they wanted them to be in the habit of imitating them. And then you had those who didn't want to work. And they were sitting around just being busybodies and paying attention to what others were doing and wasn't trying to do any work. From here, we're going to go to Romans chapter 6, verse 16 to 22. And it says, do not you know that to whom you present yourself as a servant to obedience, his servant you are whom you obey, rather of sin to death or obedience to righteousness. But thanks to Elohim that whereas you were bond servants of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching whereunto you were delivered. Being made free from sin, you became bond servants of righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For as you present your members as servants to uncleanness and to wickedness, upon wickedness, even so now present your members as servants to righteousness for sanctification. For when you were servants of sin, you were free in regards to righteousness. What fruit then did you have at the time in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and having become servants of Elohim, you have your fruit of sanctification and the result of eternal life. So this is going back to, as we said earlier, and dealing with the obedience. When you're disobedient, that's you sin. You're being sinful. And the wages of sin is death. But the wages of obedience is righteousness and sanctification. So we do have that option. We do have that option. And it's all about who we choose. Who we choose to be a servant to. Who we choose to listen to. If we listen to Hasatan, if we listen to Baal, our wages is death. Our end result is death. But if we listen to Yahushua, we listen to Moses, we listen to the prophets, we listen to Yah, our result is righteousness, sanctification, and eternal life. And this is the scripture that I meant to read earlier when I started off, but this was the whole premise of this particular lesson. And it's Psalms 128. Verse 2. And it reads, "For you will eat the labor of your hands, you will be happy, and it will be well with you." I looked that word up, labor, and it's 3018 in your concordance. And it's yigia, and it means toil, produce. A work, produce, property as a result of labor, work. So, you know, when you put in good work, you happy. You know, when you accomplish some things from putting in good work, you happy. And see, and that's where the whole, you know, like I said, the whole, you know, the Father put this on my heart after Sukkos. And, you know, because after Sukkos, I'm vacation, put it like that. I'm going to be honest. I went on a vacation. You know, and when I went on vacation, I had an opportunity to enjoy the beauty of the Father. I just got finished enjoying the beauty of being out there in the at the campground. Then he gave me the opportunity to go to the beach. And for those who are going to see me later on the Sabbath, you're going to see how happy I was. But at the end of the day, fam, you know, sometimes we have to realize that, you know, it's okay to work for the Father. It's okay to put in this work. It's okay to fight with ourselves to do the right thing, because he will put you in a position so that you can really enjoy the fruits of your labor. You know, it's okay, you know, he gives us good stuff, you know, and we have to put forth an effort to want to enjoy the other things that the Father has for us. And when you have an opportunity to go on a vacation and not have to worry about working and going somewhere and, you know, and someone serving you and you enjoying the things that the Father has given us. Like I said, you know, where I went at, you know, in Sukkos, had the opportunity to sit back and watch the you know, the tree, the foliage that was in the on the campground changed the different colors, you know. And when I went to the beach, the location that I was in, the foliage was doing the same exact thing. You know, it was when we was in Sucos, the leaves was turning from red to orange to brown. You know, where I was at, the foliage was turning from green to yellow to brown. You know, because where I was at is just the opposite season. You know, because, you know, so the seasons are what they are, and it shows me the cycle, you know, that the Father has put in things, or in the foliage. It goes through its cycle. Just like when we read in the scriptures, Israel goes through its cycles. It goes through its cycles. So that we have this Torah to use as a guide, to use for understanding if we want it. See, we don't have to make the same mistakes that our forefathers made, because the word has been given to us so that we can learn from it. One of the things that, you know, what comes to mind is when we deal with Solomon. Solomon asked for wisdom. And when you read Psalms, when you read Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, what are you learning? You're learning about experiences. So we have to experience Yahweh. We have to experience this Torah so that we can share our life experience with other people and better clarify the word. See, because we can clarify the word, and the word can clarify itself to us as we go through different things, if we're in tune with the word, because the word is alive. And the spirit of the word will cleave to our minds and cleave to our understanding, so that we too can be an example for the next person, just as Yahushua was an example for the apostles. And just like the apostles are examples for us, so that we are imitators of the apostles, who were imitators of the Messiah, but ultimately we are imitators of the Messiah. Why? Because he's just doing what the Father told him to do. He's being an obedient son. And ultimately, when you look in the mirror, you want to be considered an obedient child of the Father also. And the way you do it is by imitating Yahushua. The way you do it, by cleansing your ways with this Torah. The way you do it, by breaking your mind down, tilling your mind, weeding your mind of all the foolishness, breaking that ground up and putting good seed in, paying attention to what the prophets are saying, the teachers are saying. Why? Because they are the ones that are housing the seed. They are the ones who had that connection to help you gain a connection. As we read in the Word many times, it says, seek the law from the priest's lips. Seek the law. Seek the word, seek the understanding from those who are connected to Yahushua, those who are connected to that spirit, that one spirit that's connected to the word. So, fam, got two more scriptures to read. And I went to these particular scriptures because of, you know, what the definition means. I went to, I'm ending with Genesis chapter 6, verse 8, and it reads, "For Noah found favor in Yahweh's eyes." And I looked the word Noah up, and it is 5146 in your Hebrew lexicon, and it's Noach, and it means rest, and it's, you know, another definition that it get, you know, Noach means rest, but then Noach the man was the patriarch who survived the flood. So from there, I went to Matthew's chapter 12, verse 8, and it reads, "For the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath." And then I looked the word Sabbath up, and it's 45:21 in your Greek lexicon, Sabbaton. And it says, and it comes from Sabbath. Shabbat. Sabbaton is a, I think it's a noun. And then the Shabbat, the word it comes from is 7673, and that's a verb, and it means to cease, to rest. So I ended on this one because we was talking about doing a little work. After you do all your little work, you rest. But going back to in the beginning, there is a thing that you can do, and you have to maintain. As the scriptures tell us, don't do any servile work. But ultimately, it's about the resting from the work that you're doing. There will come a time where we will be resting. But until then, we have to do a work to maintain that salvation, maintain that truth in us. We have to put in the work. Because if we don't do the work, then we become lazy and sluggard. And we begin to lose the stuff that we have because we get accustomed to not doing certain things. We want to be a practicer. We want to, not a venerating word. We want to be a practitioner of this word of God. We want to be a good example to those who see us. And it takes work. It can't, you know, it doesn't happen overnight. So family, just reiterating, stay the course. As one of the scriptures that we tend to repeat, you know, repeat from time to time, about continuing in Yahweh's word, continuing in the truth. You know, this walk is not for the swift. This walk is not a sprint, as one would say. This is one of those marathons. You know, you got to pace yourself as you go through this word, as you go through this life with God. Pace yourself. But you don't want to, you know, you don't want to be like I read it earlier, that sluggard. Well, you don't want to be that person that's around people that's putting in work and you just sitting back complaining about how they putting in a whole lot of work. because at the end, it's paradise. At the end, you're going to meet the Father. That's our goal. In the end, we're going to be dwelling with Yahushua. At the end, you want to be prepared. Want to be prepared. You don't want to be that person that's, you know, I think we was recently reading the five foolish women and the five smart women, I'm gonna say, talking about, you know, and they was waiting for the bridegroom, and he delayed a little bit. But you had the one who had their lance full, and you had those who didn't have their lance full. And the ones that didn't have the lance full was trying to get some of the oil from the ones who had oil. And they was like, nah, you go to the marketplace, you go get your own. See, as we walk this way, we want to prepare ourselves for this coming. And how we prepare for his coming is by taking on his character, by keeping the feast days, by being obedient. Because as we be obedient, things are revealed to us through the men that he has chosen to teach. So, fam, I hope you got a little bit from this. I hope the Father open your eyes and bring you to another understanding of these scriptures that he allowed me to put on the paper to read to you this evening. May he bring you closer to him, closer to his word, closer to his son, so that you can be an imitator of him as he is an imitator of Yah. Father, as we prepare for this evening to slumber, Father, I ask thee to continue to allow your spirit to open the minds and open the ears, strengthen the hands and strengthen the feet so those who hear your truth and stand firm on thy son, Yahushua, keeping thy laws, statutes, and judgment on the forefront of their mind, being imitators of Yahushua. Father, we ask of thee to continue to help those that are in need, helping the sick, those that are needing your assistance, both mentally, physically, and emotionally. We ask of thee, O Father, to allow us to have a peaceful slumber. We ask of thee to continue to allow us to stand firm in your word and our conscious mind and our unconscious mind. And we ask of thee, O Father, to help us as Israel, help us as members of your body to cleave to one another, to assist one another, and to realize that we all are in the same boat. We all might be in different places in that boat, but our goal is the same, and that is to be a perfect sacrifice for you. May our sacrifice of praise reach your ears on this Sabbath day, Father, giving you glory and giving you praise. We ask these things in the name of thy Son, Yahushua, our Lord and Savior, and soon coming King, our Redeemer. Blessed are you, Yahweh, Shield of Abraham. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who resuscitates the dead. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the Holy Power. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who sanctifies the Sabbath. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who restores his presence to Zion. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the beneficent one. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who blesses Israel with peace. We ask these things in the name of Yahushua, our Lord and Savior and Redeemer, soon coming King. Amen.
Correct.